your friends like you for who you are as a human. And who you are as a human has nothing to do with what your body looks like. If you're looking for the real thing, right, for a real relationship, and the other person is looking for something superficial, you're going to feel that disconnect.
Welcome to the Wise Millennial Podcast. Join host Peter Noble Darrow as he interviews entrepreneurs building modern community. What brings us together? What motivates us? What are we really seeking in life, deep to our core? Great question. We can often be trapped in limited ways of thinking. So let's challenge millennial culture together. The truth is, we are more alike than we are different. This is your community. You are a wise millennial.
So I'm here remotely with Jen Trepik of Better Life Now. Welcome, Jen.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Of course. Thank you for being here. So explain to people just briefly, what is Better Life Now?
Absolutely. So Better Life Now is a company that I founded to help people help themselves physically, financially, and personally. So myself, I'm an optimal health coach. So I work with clients. I have a specialty in weight management. So that's often what brings people in the door. And then I also have a podcast called Salad with a Side of Fries. And in addition, I work with what I call aspiring wellness warriors and health professionals to implement wellness into their businesses so that their business isn't directly tied to health insurance reimbursements or their actual time, like personal trainers and stuff like that. So we're all encompassing.
Okay, cool. And I mean, without making it sound like a personal advertisement, why? I mean, there are a lot of health coaches out there in the world and everyone has their own system and methodology. So I was wondering if you could explain kind of, first off, what is TNS and how does that work? But also how you are different than maybe others.
Yeah, so TLS stands for Transitions.
Sorry, TLS.
Yeah, same thing. It stands for Transitions Lifestyle System. It's based on a book by Dr. Sherry Lieberman called Dare to Lose. And it's the program that I work with my clients. And the reason that I work with it is because it completely changed my life. So I grew up the skinny one in a family of dieters. And that was awesome until it went away. And from then on, I was like, oh, I know how to do this. I watched my family do this. And so I, you know, did every diet program under the sun.
Sure. I think we all have.
And right. And TLS is, you know, and then we do that yo-yo thing, right? And TLS is the only thing that's allowed me to say I've kicked my food issues. And it completely changed my life. And that's what I work with. I call it the nutrition education we're all supposed to know and no one ever taught us.
And so specifically, what is TLS?
Yep. So there's four pillars. The first is low glycemic impact eating. So understanding how foods impact our body and how our body processes food and to choose foods based on that.
And glycemic index is, just to clarify, is foods that affect your blood sugar level. And
correct.
Every food, regardless of sugar, can affect your blood sugar differently.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so like the glycemic index is a number rating given to foods based on how much and how quickly it impacts our blood sugar. Glycemic load is about the quantity of the food. So how much of this food would we have to eat for it to impact our blood sugar? And so when you combine the two, you get glycemic impact.
Right. They talk about viral load
right.
with coronavirus, but
right.
this is
exactly.
different.
Exactly. This is a little healthier than that, you know, but same kind of idea.
Okay.
So that's the first pillar is low glycemic impact eating. The second is behavior modification. So understanding our habits and behaviors around food.
Cool.
And why is it that we crave these things at 3 o'clock in the afternoon or 11 o'clock at night?
Well, put a pin in that because I'm going to ask you about that.
Okay. And then the third piece is we focus on removing fat, not just losing weight. So it's about body composition.
When you say fat, you're talking about fat of food or like body fat?
No, body fat.
Okay.
So we're going to actually measure body fat percentage.
Okay.
Not BMI and like certainly your overall weight, but that is actually less interesting to me than a reduction in your body fat.
Okay.
And so we focus on body composition. So you are going to have to exercise. You're going to have to move your body, right? Doesn't mean tomorrow you have to go run a marathon, but we have to move our mass because muscle dictates metabolism. And so in order to be able to eat more and burn when we're sleeping and sitting and doing nothing and watching Netflix, we have to have muscle on our body.
Got it. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. And then the last piece is strategic supplementation. So a lot of us, you know, don't eat everything we're supposed to. Even if we did, the quality of our food is such that we need some support to fill in the gaps. And as well, a lot of us with a history of gaining and losing weight, we've ended up with what's now diagnosed as metabolic syndrome. And so we can actually, with botanicals and herbs and food extracts, rehabilitate the metabolism.
Why? First off, you know, I'm excited to have you here because you're obviously very energetic and smart. And
thank you.
You know, weight loss is a sensitive subject for people, and it's something I'm passionate about. You cannot piss someone off faster than telling them what they should or should not be eating.
Totally.
Right? It's like religion or politics. It hits very close to home to people.
Yes.
You know, I did the South Beach diet when I was in college, and I tried various kind of dieting methods before finding something that was sustainable for me.
Mm-hmm.
So my first question, first off, how did you decide to do this full time? I mean, you grew up in Michigan.
Yes.
You went to the Ross School of Business at the University of Michigan.
I did.
My dad is from Ann Arbor originally.
Awesome.
And then you worked in finance. So did you always struggle with weight?
Yes. So my weight challenges really started in between high school and college. My lifestyle changed dramatically. I was a dancer growing up. And then, you know, we graduated and things were totally different. And I wasn't dancing 6 days a week and for a few hours at a time. And our food choices were different. I remember being in the dorms and it was like steamed broccoli or what was supposed to be steamed broccoli. And it had like thousands of calories. And I was like, I don't understand what you put on the broccoli. Like you just melted a vat of butter and poured it on top of the broccoli.
Oil and sugar.
Right. So it was a big shift in lifestyle that had that challenge for me. In addition, you know, all the summers in college, I moved out to New York and interned. And again, I'm moving to New York for 12 weeks. I'm not bringing pots and pans. I'm not preparing. And so it became eating out 3 meals a day. And all of those things.
As is very common with young professionals in New York City.
Right. And I will say, I've also been doing that for the last 5+ years as a health coach. And now, given what I know, I'm able to maintain my health and my weight still eating out all of those meals. But it was a difference in education and a difference in those food choices that shifted everything.
And was there some kind of, do you feel like this is what you're meant to be doing? I mean,
totally.
How did you kind of arrive at that conclusion? Was there an aha moment?
Yeah. So when, like I said, I found TLS and followed it for myself and it changed everything for me. And I was like, how did we not learn this? Why is this not what was taught to us growing up? Right. And so from then on, I was like, I'm on a mission to pay it forward and help people help themselves with this information. Like everyone deserves to know this. And the reason why we don't is because of economics. And if our parents didn't know it, how could they teach it to us? Right. And I built my business coaching clients on the side of working full time in hedge funds. And fast forward, you know, I built it on the side for about 12 years. And then, you know, the stars aligned. You said, you know, is this what I'm meant to do? Absolutely. You know,
but at a certain point, you had to make a jumping off point. You had to decide I'm going either all in on this or not. I mean, was that kind of a scary moment?
It is and it's not, because it was scary in that I'm really doing this. And this thing that I've been thinking about for so long is actually happening. Right. at the same time, it's not, because I had this in my head for over a decade. Like, I knew what this is going to look like.
It wasn't just overnight. You were kind of slowly building.
Exactly. Exactly. And the other thing is, I remind myself, and I reminded myself of this the other day even, that nothing is permanent unless we decide to make it permanent.
Well, certainly COVID-19 has taught us that.
Right, right. But so even in making that choice to not leap into the next traditional job and keep my business on the side, it was like, okay, I made that decision for now, and I can always decide to change that. Here we are 9-10 months later, and there's no going back for me, you know? But in any given moment, we can choose something else, and it doesn't have to be. So I think that takes a lot of the fear away and a lot of the uncertainty away.
Right. You're not married to it forever. It's not, you're subject to change at any moment.
Right. Right.
For better or for worse, which millennials, our own career issues. But
yeah.
You were talking about TLS and all these mm-hmm. pillars, right? And it sounds fancy. It sounds nice. At what point, Jen, are we just overcomplicating things? Or at what point can you oversimplify and just say, listen, you need to eat less and move more? I know that sounds so cliche.
Funny enough, that is this week's podcast episode. That is actually not how the body works. And a calorie is not a calorie. And we can't just eat less and move more and assume that we're going to be fine. Having said that, that's the case if we all agree that health is the optimal, like, is the objective. If we decide that it's not about health and it's just about a number on the scale, then eat less, move more, have whatever sort of, you know, disordered eating you choose, and you will be fine for a period of time. That will happen. But that doesn't give us health. That doesn't give us sustainable health and longevity.
Right. But let's talk about sustainability, because there's got to be some baseline, right? I mean, is it numbers? Is it simple math of macros? Is it just eating a whole food? I mean, yes, it's different for everyone, but there has to be something that works, some baseline or no.
Yeah, there is, right? The fundamentals of how the human body works to a certain degree is the same no matter who you are. And there are nuances to it that are different for you than for me. And
briefly enlighten us to what those baseline things are.
That is protein and fiber at every meal makes removing fat no big deal. So protein is clean, lean protein from wherever you want to get it. Fiber is vegetables and sometimes fruit. That gives our body the nutrients that it needs to function properly, for our gut to do what it needs to do, to properly fuel every cell in our being and our brain and everything we need. So protein and fiber at every meal makes removing fat no big deal. And I think all of these fad diets that we've all tried over the years have jumped onto certain nuances and tried to give everybody a framework of eat this, don't eat that. This is the answer you're looking for. And the truth is, it's not about teaching somebody what to eat. It's about teaching somebody how to eat. And when we learn how to eat, we can then go on and live the rest of our lives. And there is space for a birthday and a celebration.
Right. I mean, you have to people want immediate results, right? Yep. I mean, even with the South Beach diet, the reason they cut all the carbs out in the first, I think, 2 weeks is because they know that you'll see immediate results, even though that's not sustainable. But, you know, people start a diet and then they want to check the scale the next day, right? It becomes mm-hmm. a game and they start checking. But to your point, you've got to look at the long term. It's not, I mean, that can be certainly positive motivation to help you initially. But you're really, it's more of a lifestyle change, which I know people hate the word lifestyle, but.
Right. It's like insert eye roll, you know. But the piece of it is you can still get quick results and learn how to eat so that it lasts for forever. My challenge with a lot of these typical diets is they give you all the things in week one, and then you're supposed to try to implement it all and maintain it. And that's not sustainable. But the reality is, any diet you try will move the needle on the scale for a finite period of time. It becomes a function of how long term, right? Like how sustainable.
Right.
And how healthful. Because when we cut out whole food groups or significantly decrease our calorie intake or a lot of the things that happen with a lot of the diets that we typically choose, when we lose that weight, the number on the scale goes down, but we're losing that weight as muscle, water, and sometimes bone. So what happens is the number on the scale goes down for a period of time and then it stops. And whatever we did to make that happen, you know, drastically cutting calories or cutting whole food groups or working out insane amounts or whatever we decide we're doing is not sustainable. We go back to these old eating habits. But now, because we lost that weight as muscle, we have less muscle on our body that's metabolically active to be burning that fuel that we're now taking in.
Right. And that's a common confusion because muscle actually burns calories. People always think that, you know, I don't want to be toned or ripped, and that's fine.
No,
but muscle actually increases your metabolic rate.
Exactly. Muscle dictates metabolism.
Right.
So when we lose that weight as muscle, we're slowing our metabolism. We then go back to these old eating habits. We gain the weight back. We might be the same number on the scale that we were before, but by body composition, we're actually fatter.
Right.
Because
Got
we
it.
Gained that weight back as fat. So fundamentally, it's about learning how to eat to burn fat, which doesn't require keto, to burn fat and to keep our body out of fat storage mode.
I understand. And also the sources of food too, right? I mean, it's not, you know, you can get fiber from eating fiber cookies, but that's not going to do the trick.
Right. Well, and a lot of the fiber that's in those fiber cookies is actually more detrimental to our gut than fiber from fruits and vegetables and things that have other phytonutrients and deliver what we need. Like a lot of the fiber supplements that are out there are fiber fortified foods. Say that 10 times fast. you know, they actually can I describe fibers like the scrubbing bubbles of our intestines, right? It can actually take out the good stuff as well as the bad stuff, but we need to keep the good stuff in there. So just dosing up on a ton of fiber isn't the solution either. Again, we have to learn how to eat versus what to eat.
I could go down a rabbit hole. I could ask you 100 questions on this, and I want to, but I want to stay high level. I want to get out of the weeds for a second and ask you kind of a big picture. A few topics. So millennials and body image, you know, social media, dating apps, you know, why do millennials in particular struggle with body image so much? And how do we break this cycle? I mean, it's easy to say, you know, love yourself.
Right. If only it were that simple. I think in particular,
and there's a lot of people who make money telling you that.
Right. 1,000%. I think to start with your question of why is this such a challenge in particular for millennials, I think we grew up in the era of Barbie was the ideal, right? The blonder, the better, the thinner, the better, the bigger boobs, the better.
Right.
And at the same time, it was also the era of celebrities and ads and all of these things and models being airbrushed to exponential factors, but everybody was denying the airbrushing when we were growing up. Like, I remember vividly there came a point where people were like, wait, what? That's not what this person really looks like? You know, like, we grew up with these images that weren't real, but we were told they were.
Well, and also because we were, it was mostly magazines, right? And
right.
So as you move from magazine to, I mean, you could argue kind of Instagram is a digital magazine. The only difference is that it's immediate.
Right. And even on Instagram, I mean, listen, there are ways to retouch your photos. Every day I get ads for apps that are going to retouch your photos and make you look better.
Right.
And it becomes a fun, and everybody puts their best self on Instagram. It's not like, you know, and then the people who sometimes are telling it like it is, like, hey, this day kind of sucks. We don't want to hear that. We pass that or we block them. Right.
So how do we, so going back to my question, so how do we break this cycle, Jen?
So it comes down to, if you need to cut off the images, right? And we need to learn to I hate to use this word, but dissociate from our value and our body, right? Like your friends like you for who you are as a human, and who you are as a human has nothing to do with what your body looks like. You know,
what if they like me because of what I look like? Well, then you need new friends.
But there's more to it. There's more to it that only goes so far.
Right.
Right. So if it's real, true friendships, right, that are worth having, it's more than that.
Well, that's my point. Superficial versus, you know, real relationships.
Right. And again, if you're looking for the real thing, right, for a real relationship, and the other person is looking for something superficial, you're going to feel that disconnect, right? It's going to feel like perhaps that then feels like pressure to maintain a certain body. Well, is that the relationship you're choosing? Is that what you want? And it takes a whole lot of self-reflection and a whole lot of self-awareness. And that's why I said maybe it's time for a step back and to focus on learning to fall in love with ourselves. And to, like I said, like dissociate. Yes. And dissociate our self-worth from our body and learn to love our body for all the things that it does. Right? Mm. Like I just went out for a walk. I worked out this morning. You know, my body carries me around. My body keeps me healthy. All of these things that our body does for us. There's a million processes going on that we don't have to think about. And thank goodness, right? Like if we had to think about every breath, like that's exhausting. We wouldn't be able to think about anything else. So noticing all the things that our body does for us, I think can be really helpful in shifting how we view ourselves and that body image.
So is it helping or hurting? I mean, it's in terms of, it's easy to make Instagram the enemy, right? Or to blame celebrities. But to play devil's advocate, mm-hmm. and maybe a little controversial or a little unpopular of an opinion, maybe that peer pressure is making people more aware and mindful and putting an emphasis on their health. I mean, I know
potentially,
personally,
that's where I think it's a slippery slope. Because does it put it in a place of I have to make the number on the scale go in the right direction? Is it that I have to look a certain way and I'm choosing that over health? Right? Am I going to choose a fad diet that's going to move the scale and I'm going to lose that weight as muscle? Right? Or am I going to choose my health? And this is where my body feels good. This is where I feel like I'm at my best and this is sustainable. And this is when I have energy to go and do the things that I love to do. And I think there is a piece of Instagram that can be helpful because there are a lot of people who don't look like that ideal anymore, who are the influencers and who are new celebrities, right? And I think that can be really beneficial to say, okay, like the image is sort of changing a little bit and we can see that. And if that empowers you, awesome.
Yeah. It's funny. Someone told me as a side note someone from Gen Z, late teens, said Instagram is where you go to feel bad about yourself. TikTok is where you go to feel good about yourself.
Interesting.
I just thought
maybe
that
we should all go to TikTok. I feel like I'm too old for TikTok, but sure.
Maybe not. I don't know. Anyways,
I don't know. It's funny. I had a session with a young girl that I mentor, and I was asking her, you know, like what social media she and her friends use.
Right.
You know, and like they were talking about Snapchat and I was like, oh, I don't get Snapchat. Like why why would you post something if the intention is for it to disappear?
Right. Unless it's something that you don't want it to last.
Right. And so she explained it as it's more of like a quick update to tell people like where you're at and what you're up to.
Got
it. I was like, okay, those aren't things I post on social media at all anyway, but noted, right? Yeah. Okay.
We were talking about kind of self-worth before and millennials and dating. So this is a semi-controversial question, but within the context of dating, because most millennials are trying to find romance, how much should body image and physical appearance matter or factor into the equation?
Well, should and do are two very different things. I mean...
Yes, that's fair.
To the best of anyone's ability, we could try to read someone's answers to prompts on a dating app and choose them based on that. But the reality is we're looking at a handful of pictures and we're like, does this person get me excited? Yes or no?
Right.
Right? And that's just what it is. Like, does this person look like somebody I would want to have a conversation with? You know, does this picture look like somebody I would want to go to bed with? Right? Like,
there's that's no the personality.
Reality. It's very difficult. And I say to people all the time, like, I think I'm really bad at online dating because I say no to people that if I met in person would be a yeah, for sure. And I think I say yes to people that if I met in person, I'd be like, oh, no.
Right.
And it's just because there's so much more to a human being than that photo.
I know. We've been programmed because right. of apps that there's no person. You know, before apps, you actually had to, you know, where a person came from, what their story was, not pedigree, nothing stupid like that, but just who they were as a person factored in. But now you don't, it's literally just focusing on body image.
Right. Like someone's charisma and energy and, you know, right. how they show up. Like when you met someone in a bar.
Right.
That was the
thing.
Their
personality.
Right. And it's hard to make that come through in the same photo as showing your best look. Right. Like those are often not the same photo. And so sometimes that stands in our way with apps.
And this is not a dating podcast, you know, and right. and but you know, lots of millennials are obviously want love. And so let me ask you one more sensitive, ultra sensitive and controversial question on this. How okay. do you respectfully tell someone, either a guy or a girl that you're dating or even maybe married to her, that they're not up to par physically? Are we not allowed to ask that question?
I love this question, and I get it all the time because even in a lot of networking, people will say, well, how do I refer you? And I'm like, yeah, totally, because you're not going to go up to someone and be like, you look like you could lose a few.
Right.
Right? So one of the things is they have to bring it up.
The partner.
Yes.
I'm not content.
Right. They have to bring it, whether they're, you know, venting or they say they're not content or they're frustrated or they say something about their food choice being because of, you know, for whatever reason, right? And so one of the things to always say is, you know, like, are you really serious about it or are you just venting?
Right, but it's totally a fine line.
Totally innocuous with all the love in the world, like, are you really serious? Like, are you just venting? Like, is it just today or are you feeling like this all the time?
It's a fine line, Jen, between being supportive versus insensitive.
Asking a question is neither, and that's the key. If you ask it the right way, it's not a judgment and it's not insensitive. It's just, I hear you and I'm asking where that's coming from.
Got it. And then what's the follow-up to that?
Well, it depends on their answer.
I'm not where I want to be physically. I'm not feeling content with my body.
Yeah. And then it's like, listen, if you want to do something about it, I support you. You know, if you want to talk about it, let me know. If, you know, I happen to know somebody, like I'd be happy to give you, you know, put you guys in touch and leave me out of it. Or if you want to do this together, I'm in.
But the key is it has to come from them, it can't be you pushing it on them.
Correct. The only way that happens in terms of you starting is that you have to do it for yourself. You set the example and let them follow. But it's going to go over like a lead balloon if you try to say you should or you need.
Right.
And put it on them.
Well, that's just true generally.
Right. And this is kind of no different, but the objective in starting with a question to get a sense of where they're really at, I say it to people. Like, sometimes I look at them and I go, you know, I'm a health coach, right? Like, you're saying this to somebody who can help you about it. So I need some clarity, like, if you're just venting or if you're asking me
yeah.
for help.
I have two personal questions I want to ask
sure.
you. if I gave you a magic wand and you could change anything you wanted in society, what would you change and why?
It's a great question. I think I would cure obesity for obvious reasons. It's very much like in my wheelhouse, but it's also an underlying cause prerequisite, you know, confounding factor for a lot of other sickness, illness, disease, and symptoms.
And through what mechanism would you cure obesity?
I mean, with a magic wand, it just happens.
Right, but I guess, right? is it just changing? Well, yes, that's fair. Good point. But I mean, just changing, like just removing all processed food from the grocery store?
I think it's, yeah, it's a whole host of things. There's education. It's what qualifies as food in our country. It's our farming practices. It's systemic, and it requires, that's part of how we got to this point. And so the solution needs to be systemic as well.
Yeah,
and therefore, next to impossible.
Well, because the food is processed before you even purchase it. So you're kind of screwed to begin with.
Right. And what qualifies as food in this country, like I describe a lot of things as food-like substances, right? Like it tastes like food and it looks like food, but what it's actually giving your body is not food at all.
The Impossible Burger.
Right. To name one of millions.
Yeah, right. I ask all my guests, what is something you wish someone had told you 5 years ago or you had told yourself that you had to learn on your own but would have made life so much easier had you known?
Well, one of the best pieces of advice was, you know, especially when we're starting out in our career and we have a job that we are probably overqualified for, or it's not the ideal scenario and what we ultimately want to do, we still have to do the work like it's the most important thing in the world. That if you act like you're above it, you'll never get the next thing. But if someone sees that you treat this relatively inconsequential thing or whatever it is, it's important enough to task you with it. So if you do what you're tasked with, stellar execution, right? Beyond anybody's expectations, and treat it like it's the most important thing in the world. The world is your oyster. And anything you want next, people would love to hand to you because they know they can trust you.
Right. People want to give you more responsibility, but you have to first prove yourself capable of handling. If you can't handle a minute task, right, that's a test. It's not the real thing. It's just they just are trying to see and prove that you're capable of doing this. Because if you're not capable of doing that, you're not capable of handling bigger things.
Exactly. And I see it all the time.
It's not an insult.
No.
It's just a test a little bit.
Right. And I see it all the time when I hire and I'm training people, you know, in my old career. It's like there are also times where you have to know when to Google something and when to ask. Because sometimes the question you ask is really the thing you were supposed to Google. And it lets them know that you are not ready for the next piece of ownership.
Yeah. No, I think that's very valuable advice. How can we learn more about you and how can people get involved?
Yeah. So of course my podcast is called Salad with a Side of Fries. Thank you. It's on all the platforms. So come find me. I'm on Instagram at Jen Trepek, JennTrepeck. And my website is betterlifenowllc.com. And all those places, DM me, send me a message, all the things. I would love to hear from you guys.
Amazing. I will add those links. My wise millennial friends, we all want to be accepted for who we are, for all of our strengths and weaknesses, and to be comfortable in our own skin. Jen has dedicated herself to work with others and provide them the support and resources they need to accomplish their weight goals. And I give her a ton of respect for what she's trying to accomplish in helping people. And I encourage you to learn more about her and her community and see if it's the right fit for you. Jen, thank you so much for being on here today.
Peter, thank you again. So much fun.
You've been listening to the Wise Millennial Podcast. To join our community and participate IRL, follow us on Instagram at Wise Millennial and go to wisemillennial.com. Do you have a community to share? Leave us a positive review and mention it in the comments. Don't leave us a negative review. That's messed up AF. Tune in next episode for more tips and info about how millennials like us can find true happiness. Until next time, stay wise.